today on Living on Every Word.
Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, in the midst of a temptation from the enemy, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's what we hunger for. That's what we long for. A word from God. A word that I'm able to take and apply to my life, to whatever circumstance that's going on in my life.
Just like our bodies depend on food, God's Word is meant to sustain us in good times and bad. Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher shares one such word from Scripture in part one of Words to Live On.
Living on every word.
I just wanted to come before you this morning and tell you just a few scriptures that have been I've been living on over the past several weeks. Some that just are found just kind of in the middle of a passage that just has spoken to me, that has just kind of dropped in my heart. And, you know, that's what the Word of God does, doesn't it? Just kind of drops into your heart and it speaks to you and it does something significant in your life. And it can be a phrase, it can be a word, one word. It can be a whole passage. But I don't know about you, but just in this season of my life right now, over the past couple of months, it's been these one-liners that God has just really spoken into my heart, into my life with. You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 28:1, he said, "Do not be deaf to me, for if you are silent to me, I am like one who goes down to the pit." God, if you're silent, if I don't hear you, if you're not speaking into my life, if you're not speaking to my heart and you're silent, I'm like a dead man. I'm like somebody who just goes down to Sheol, down to the miry pit, and I'm lonely without it, and I'm heartbroken without it. And God, I want to hear you. I need to hear your word. I need to hear what you have for me. All of us in this place have a need of continual transformation into the glory of God, into his image. Every one of us are on that journey. Jesus has sanctified us. He's justified us. We're in Christ Jesus. But there is a need in every one of us and a compulsion from the Spirit of God, if he's in our lives, to move us forward into Christ's likeness, to being more and more like him. And we find that through the Word of God. We find that being ready to carry the good news by being transformed into the same image of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see that taking place through the Word of God. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, in the midst of a temptation from the enemy, he says to the enemy, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And the question that I would ask today is, are you living that kind of life today? Are you living on every word that's coming out of the mouth of God? I can ask the question today, how many of you eaten this week? How many of you have eaten 21 times this week, right? How many of you eaten 30 times this week, right? We've all eaten this week. We've all been nourished, or some of us have been nourished, so others have eaten poorly, right? But the Bible says we don't live on bread alone. We live on the word that comes out of the mouth of God. That's what we hunger for. That's what we long for. A word from God. A word that I'm able to take and apply to my life, to whatever circumstance that's going on in my life and in my heart, to live on the Word of God. You have a great opportunity. We have a great opportunity, even this morning, to take some of these one-liners that I'm going to share with you and to live on it all week long, all month long. That's how great this word is. That's how powerful. That's how deep it is. That's how wide it is. That's why the breadth of it is so breathtaking. The question is, do you know that's what you're hungering for today? Because if I ask the question today, how many of you have lived off the Word of God 21 times this week, that I've had 21 meals through the Word of God that I've lived on this week. You know, I'm desperate to feed this body. When I go without a meal, or if I'm a little bit over the meal, I start feeling it. I start getting hungry. I start wanting to eat something. Let me ask you, does it take 21 meals? Does it take missing five meals in the Word that finally just kind of gets those hunger juices going in your spirit and your soul? Listen, the Word of God changes you. It transforms you. And the question that I would ask is, do we have this love affair with the Word like we have a love affair with food? I don't know about you, but I love food. I love it. I'm telling you, I grew up in a home where my mom had, she had 30, 35 items on a menu. And the only thing we ate in the month more than once was red beans and rice. New Orleans red beans and rice. Every Monday. But I'm talking, she fed us chicken fried steak, chicken fried chicken, crawfish etouffee, gumbo, seafood gumbo, red snapper when it was in season, stuffed flounder. I tell you, when I go home, they say, did you go out to eat? Why would I go out to eat? I love food. You like it too. Come on. We like it. We like the thought that we will feast one day at the table of God and that we'll eat in heaven. We gather around the table as families. We gather around the tables as a church life. And you know some of the greatest church life times is around the table. But let me ask the question. What about this love affair with the Word of God? With this love for it that says, oh God, feed me today. Oh God, I want to be fed by your Word. I want to grow up in your Word. And I want to just speak this over you today, because my prayer for us as a church body is that we would leave this place hungry for a Word that drives us to the Bible, that drives us to the Scriptures, that says, oh God, speak. Because if you quit speaking, if you're deaf to me, if I don't hear you, I'm like someone who is dead. Just like if I don't eat, I'm going to die. I will die if I don't eat. So there's a few words that I've been living on that I want to share with you. The first word is a word for forever freedom. It's a word for forever freedom. It's found in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 16. And it says this, the Lord has said to you, you shall never return that way again. Let me read that again. The Lord has said to you, you shall never return that way again. Now, this passage of scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 17 is talking to the children of Israel about when a king comes to the throne and what a king is supposed to do and what a king is not supposed to do, that the king would not lead his people to Egypt. Why? Because the Lord has said, you shall never return that way again. Now, what does this have to do with eating today on the Word of God? Well, for me, as someone who's come out of his own pit, to me, this is a great promise. It's a great promise that says, hey, you shall never return that way again. Egypt is a type and shadow of the darkness that we walk in without Christ. If you know anything about the 400 years of slavery that the children of Israel went through, you know that there was toil, that there were taskmasters, that there was hardship, there was tiredness, there was fatigue, there was sorrow, there was hurting, there was bondage, enslaved for 400 years. And when God comes along and delivers them out, he tells them, and this is a part of their heritage, it's a part of the Word to them, you shall never return that way again. What a great promise today. You know, I look at this and I think, that's a promise. Yeah, it's also a command. Don't go back to that lifestyle. Don't go back to that anger. Don't go back to that drunkenness. Don't go back to that selfishness, that unforgiveness, that bitterness. You shall never return that way again. Listen, if the faith of God would be birthed within us like never before to believe a promise like that, that says, when I come out of the pit, when I come out of the addiction, when I come out of the fear, when I come out of the worry, that God would speak over to me, you shall never return that way again. She'll never return to that. Now, I'm not talking about trial and struggle and heartache. In this world, we have tribulation, but we rejoice because God has overcome the world. Amen? It's that we do is that we respond to our trial differently, because when trials come and heartaches come and disappointments come, do you know what happens? We have a tendency to go back to Egypt. I want to say this with such great conviction and belief and trust. You shall never return that way again. I love that promise. But let me tell you what happens to us. You know, there's lots of different sources of authority around. Two of them that I want to just talk about real briefly. The first one is the Word of God. It's your source of authority. But do you know what another source of authority that so many people walk in is? Their experience or other people's experiences. If I look at a word like this and I say, the Lord said to you, you shall never return that way again. And I say, well, you know what? That's the Word of God, but that's not my experience. And that's not those people's experience. There must be something wrong here. Now, I'm not talking about struggling again. I'm not talking about temptation. And I'm not talking about having bad days. I'm not talking about being perfect. Please hear me. But I find it really interesting in my heart and my spirit how quick we're to look at our experience and say, that's got to be it, instead of looking at the powerful Word of God and believing you shall not return that way again. Folks, do you want to return back to the pit? No, you don't. The miry clay, the pit of destruction? Absolutely not. So I look to this word and I say, oh God, I believe that word. Help me in my unbelief. To be able to speak this in conviction, you shall never return that way again. You know, there's a scripture that can be really, really hard, but it's found in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. It says, listen, verse 22, 2 Peter 2. It has happened to them according to the true proverb. A dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow, after washing, returns to wallowing in the mire. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen your dog return to its vomit? Yeah, we have. Makes me want to gag thinking about it. I could tell you a story about a hyena in the zoo. And I've got a horrible gag reflex, so I do. I can see something plastic, a fake one, and start gagging. Okay, that's what my mind is. But that's what dogs do. Dogs return to the vomit. A sow, after washing, returns to wallowing in the mire. Why? Because that's their nature. They're dogs. They're pigs. If you're in Christ Jesus, you are not a dog. You are not a sow. You're the child of the living God. We are not like that. We all know the pain it is to go back to the vomit. We all know the pain that it was when we were living in it. And if you're here today with an anger problem, that's vomit. A lust problem, that's vomit. If you have a struggle with some kind of addiction, that's vomit. If you have a critical spirit, that's vomit. If you're a grumbler and a complainer, that's vomit. And you are not a dog and you are not a pig. So just stop it. Just stop it. Oh, just stop your complaining and stop your grumbling. It's only making things worse in your family and in your life and the person that you're grumbling about, because it seems to accentuate their behavior, right? It does. And I just say, just stop it, because you have the power to do that. What is the pit? What is the miry clay? The pit and the miry clay is life without Jesus at the helm. It's life without Jesus, period. Why do I believe this? Because God said it. It's a promise of God. But it's also because of who we are. You know, I believe with all my heart that I have the victory of Jesus at hand. And you have the victory of Jesus at hand to say, yes, I agree with you, God. Not by my power, not by my might, but by the Spirit of God, to never return that way again. Maybe at some point you need to hold your spouse's hand and say, man, we've been living like hell. And it's been the pit for us. But let's stand together and say, we won't return that way again. In my destructive behavior or the belief system that I have, I don't want to return there. Matter of fact, my God has said, you shall not return that way again. Let's make that kind of statement today. You shall not return that way again. I love saying it. To be able to say and believe, you shall not return that way again. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I know we mess up and we struggle. And sometimes we get offended, especially by our spouse. Our spouse does something. But what if we had the faith to say of our spouse, I believe what Scripture says, you will never return that way again. So that's not so much I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust my God and what my God says. Right? What does that do? That frees your spouse up. It does something for her or for him. It shows that you are walking in forgiveness. You're walking in trust in your great God. And that what you're doing is that you're fulfilling the vows that God has placed upon you and that you've made. But let's take that just another step farther and say, and apply that to anything that you're struggling with today. Anything. To be able to come and to confess that to somebody and that person to say, now my Bible says you'll never return that way again. What did Jesus tell the woman caught in adultery? You remember that? They're ready to stone her. And she's caught. We've caught her in the very act. We're supposed to stone such one. What do you say? Jesus says that if you're without sin, and really, particularly that particular sin, you're going and cast the first stone. Wow. They all walk away. And she says, and he says to her, is there anyone that's condemning you? No. Neither do I. What did he say? Go and sin no more. Don't return there again. Matter of fact, you shall not return that way again. Do you know how real this can be in your daily life? How powerful it can be in your daily life? This one little phrase, it's packed with dynamite. It'll rock your world, it'll rock your foundation so that you're living a foundation that says, I won't go that way again. According to the power of God, according to the work of his might, according to his spirit, because the spirit of God lives in me. Deuteronomy 17:16. You shall never return that way again. Second word. The second word. The first word was a word for forever freedom. This is the second word, a word for forever strength. Because I'm not promising this life of free ease, okay? Please hear me. We're going to have trials. I've said it and I'm going to say it again. You're going to have trials. And you're going to have it this week. And you're going to have temptation. And you know what? We're going to lose. There's going to be loss. I mean, we lose our family. We lose our parents. You know, some of us have lost children. We lose, and it's hard. Some of you have teenage children and adult children that are running wild somewhere else after something else, and it's grieving you. I'm not saying that you will be free from that. And this wonderful passage for a word for strength, there's another one. It's another obscure one. Deuteronomy is blessing the 12 sons of Israel, and he says of one of them, as your days, so shall your strength be. As your days, so shall your strength be. Think about your hardest day last week, your hardest conversation with someone, your hardest moment of temptation. My Bible says that as your day is, so shall your strength be. What it means is that God will match the day with strength in your life. And you know what? Sometimes he exceeds it. He gives you what you need to face the day. So that no matter what the day holds, no matter what the trial is, no matter what the struggle is, my Bible says, so shall your strength be. Think about it. The strength of the Lord in my life. That when I wake up in the morning or I leave here and I might have a bad news hour, that the Bible says, as that day is, so will your strength be. You will have everything you need to face that day. You have everything you need to face that trial, that temptation. And I don't know about you, but I want to feast on that one. I want to feast on that one. I want to eat that word up. And I want to give it to everyone that I see. Because why? Because it's true. That's why. It's true. It's almost like what Paul said in Romans. He says, listen, where sin abounded, grace abounded all the more. So if I came out of a deeper pit than someone else, I had enough grace to get me out of the pit. Amen. Had just enough and more and more. It's like the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It says this, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation will provide the way of escape so that you will be able to endure it. To endure what? To endure the temptation. What does that mean? Well, he's just saying, I'm going to give you strength so you never have to return back to Egypt. I'm giving you the strength that you need for the day to forgive, to say no to that sin, to say no to that temptation, to say no to that critical spirit, to say no to that grumbling and complaining. I'm going to give you exactly what you need. Matter of fact, not only am I going to give you what you need, but I'm going to provide the way of escape. So here's the temptation. Here's the day. It's hard. But all of a sudden, God says, hey, I've got a way for you. I've given you the power and the strength, but guess what? I'm also going to give you a way of escape so that you can get out of that mess before you even step one foot in it. It's preventive. It's preventive. The question that I have to ask myself, I have to ask Mike Fritcher, is that, is this scripture real for me? Do I believe this word? Do I believe Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 25, as your days, so shall your strength be? If you're in Christ, you have a seed of faith to believe this word. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so what I want to ask you to do over the next several days is to take these words that we're talking about right now and ask God, how do I apply this to my situation? How do I speak this into my life? How do I do that? So it's where sin abound, grace abounded more. Where there's temptation, there's a way of escape. There's strength to endure it. And what about in trial? Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The classic passage of scripture of Paul, who's been going through trials, and he's asked God to take away the trial. He's asked God to take away the thorn. By the way, Paul knew what it was like to ask. I believe that God is our Father. Do you believe that? And as his child, I have a relationship with him that I can go straight into the throne of grace and ask him. To ask him for anything. And that's what he does. He's got this thorn in the flesh. It is a trial. It is a burr under his donkey saddle. It's a burr. It's a thorn. And thorns hurt. And this thing, the Bible says, this messenger is continually poking at his eye. I mean, it's just, this thorn is just constantly at him. And the Bible says he understands it right now when he's speaking this because he says in verse 7, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. To keep me from exalting myself. And concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might lead me. Three times I implored, God, would you take this thorn away? Would you take this messenger away from me? And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I'll rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I'm going to be well content with weakness, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Strength for the day. Strength, you have it. You have the strength to face any trial, any temptation, any sin, any past sin. It's the strength of God. Would you believe that today? There's a third word. A third word that I want to share with you, and it's a word for forever stillness. It's Psalm 46:10. Psalm 46, verse 10. And we will close with this in a moment and just kind of give you kind of an introduction to where I'm going with this next week. 46:10. Now remember, a couple of weeks ago, we looked at this passage of scripture. We saw a couple of things happen, and we saw the earth changing, and we saw nations coming against Israel. And they made some very faith statements about God, that God's our refuge and strength. He's a very present help in trouble. They made a confession that they would not fear that the earth should change. They made this confession that there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, verse 4. A confession that God's presence in the midst and therefore will not be moved. A confession that God will help when morning dawns. That even when nations make an uproar in verse 6 and kingdoms totter, he raises his voice and the earth melts because the Lord of hosts is with us. They make an invitation. Come behold the works of God. Come see what God does in the earth. Come see. He makes wars to cease. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two, verse 9. And then first person God, verse 10. Cease striving. Cease striving. Be still and know that I am God. And I'll be exalted in these things. I'll be exalted in your trial and in your struggle. Cease striving, let go, trust your great God. And when that happens and that trust is taking place and there's this stillness of heart and I'm trusting him with all my heart, all of a sudden God gets exalted in my life. Exalted. When we think about a couple of things about God, I get to know him in that stillness. I get to know him and who he is in my life. You know, one of the great passages of Scripture is in Psalm 103, 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. He pardons our iniquities, redeems our life from the pit. He heals our diseases. And guess what else he does? He forgets our sin, and he throws it as far as the east is from the west. This is what we get to know in stillness. This is what we get to know when we're ceasing to strive in our own flesh and allowing God to be God, to be still and to know that he is God. And over the next couple of weeks, I want us to look at this character of God and who he is and what he does for you and for me. And it's who we worship, and it's who we're still before, and it's he who comes. And again, if you're new, just know that stillness doesn't mean idleness. It's a stillness of heart, even when chaos is abounding all around us. I get to know that he's God when the earth is changing and when nations or the enemies coming against us. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. When you go through the valley, I'll be with you. You know, one of the things that when my children were little, we'd go into their room at night and we'd speak over them. Not just pray, we'd speak over them. You know that the Bible says in Zechariah that he sings over us, that God sings over us? We used to speak over them every night, bless them. Bless them with Aaron's blessing. Pray over them, speak life. And they'd listen and hear it. And you know, one of the things that I want to really do, I want to be a part of, is speaking into your lives like I speak into my children's. Just speak the word over you on a Sunday morning. My heart would be to sing this over you. And I want you to receive it today. Okay? Receive it because it's from the word. It's from this passage of Scripture, to be still. If there's something that just resonates with you and you need to come to this altar in this singing over you, if you need to grab your spouse and say, let's not return there again. If you need to just come to this and say, God, I've been walking in an attitude that's been horrible and I don't want to return that way. And you said, you shall not return that way again. And find the stillness of God in this altar. To come to this place where you really, really believe that as my days are, so is my strength. And I don't want to spend another day squandering the strength that God's given me. I want to apply it to my life, to be strong in the Lord, to learn a stillness where God's exalted, where other people need to see it in your life and mine, so that they're seeing, come, behold the works of God. Come, behold the works of God.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.